SOS Radio on demand.
It changed my heart.
On demand.
It changes your life.
Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast.
One thing about our modern day society is it's really good at telling us who we are and who we're not, regardless of whether or not we ask for somebody's opinion. I'm Scott on SOS Radio, and we're talking with Esther Felice Allen today at SOS. And Esther was actually called one of the 50 women shaping church and culture by Christianity Today. She has a brand new book. It's called Your New Name, Saying Goodbye to the Labels That Limit. Good morning, Esther.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
It's so interesting because when we raise kids, we talk a lot about their identity, and your identity is in Christ and not in the way you look or how smart you feel or in your education. But a lot of times as adults, we forget about how that applies to us.
We do. So many of us have stories, you know, as early as elementary school too, where we were name called something, or maybe we were labeled overweight or not smart, not good enough. And it's surprising how those labels can stick with us for decades. And sometimes we don't even ask ourselves, what are we really believing about ourselves?
Esther, when we start a relationship with God, we sort of die to ourselves. We know that we're reborn as a new creation in Christ. But with that comes God giving us a new name, a new identity.
Absolutely. And a lot of us are familiar with that passage in 2 Corinthians, that we are a new creation. But I think for years I thought, you know, I'm a new creation. That means I'm saved. You know, I'm God's daughter now. But I didn't really explore beyond that. And what I've realized with studying for the book, Your New Name, is that God gives us new names. He puts new names on us. And our new names are what's written in the book of life. Our names go with us into eternity. And so the labels that many of us have stuck with for years are not how God identifies us. And that's what really challenged me, is what labels am I believing about myself? But who does God say that I really am? And it's not just a one and done transformation like salvation. I think God is always doing a new thing inside of us and giving us new names to help us overcome.
So Esther, what's the significance behind names in the first place?
The word label hardly appears in the Bible's original language. The word label, when you see it, it's kind of like somebody calls you something. And all of us have been name called, right? And we know that that hurts. But naming is so much more significant in Scripture. We see that no two names are alike, but names had a lot of significance in the Jewish culture. And many times God would change somebody's name, calling them forth into something. Like, for example, God called Abraham a father of nations. His name was Abram, and he gave him a new name. And he said he was going to be the father of many nations. And really, the label that Abram was living with was infertile. He thought he and his wife Sarah couldn't have kids, and they were looking at their circumstances, but God had a new name for them. God was calling them for something for their future. And that's really how a lot of our names are given. They're not based on our circumstances or our relationship status, or our failures, or our past. The new names that God gives us are names that go with us into our future, names that represent the calling that God has in our lives. And I found that really asking God for a new name is what gave me hope to persevere in a hard season of despair.
We're talking about really owning our God-given identity and figuring that out with Esther Felice Allen today at SOS Radio. Because a lot of times there's these labels that come on us when we're younger or through our job or nicknames and things that sort of stick. And we don't realize how deeply some of those things go and take root in our life. And God gives us a different identity. God talks to us and calls us different things than the world does. And in your book, Esther, it's called Your New Name. You talk about the story of Ruth in the Old Testament. And Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, and essentially Naomi takes on this name Mara. And she says, yeah, call me Mara from now on. And that actually means bitter. It's like, why would you want to take on a name like that? Even though you feel like that, don't define that. Just own the season that you're in, that I may feel bitter, but why would we take on that identity knowing that, you know?
Yeah, I'm so glad you bring up that example, because I realized when I was studying the book of Ruth that I have many times renamed myself prematurely. You know, I've been in a season of suffering and I've named myself depressed, or I've been in a really challenging season with work and I've said I'm hopeless. You know, so many times it's easy for us to take on these temporary seasons and mislabel ourselves, misname ourselves. And I think the story of Ruth in the Bible, and Naomi in particular, gives us the example of not renaming ourselves prematurely. God does not give us names in the middle of the brokenness. Like, that's not the final end of our story. There's a pastor in Atlanta. He says, if the circumstance isn't good yet, then God isn't done. You know, God is always doing new things inside of us. And while lament will be a part of all of our stories and we will face difficulties and will face hardship, I'm really trying to challenge the reader and your listener to not rename themselves in the middle of the storm.
It's wild because you hear people talk about don't speak things into existence or declare it as God does. And usually we're quoting something from the Old Testament talking about I can declare things, but, you know, it's our will versus God's will, right? It's like just because we declare it doesn't mean that it is. But you talk about we rename ourselves prematurely. And a lot of times we say, oh, I'm depressed or I'm just obnoxious or I'm just a failure. Or, I just can't do math or, you know, I just feel so disconnected with God. God doesn't care about me. And we sort of name ourselves prematurely when we say that, and it's similar to speaking things into an existence, not recognizing that it may just be a season.
Exactly, and our words have power to them. You know, I think that the book of Ruth gives us the example, Naomi in the middle of her grief. You know, Naomi was widowed, so she had very difficult circumstances. She lost her husband, her sons died. I mean, no one blames her for being upset. But in the middle of her grief, Naomi says, don't call me Naomi anymore. And her name actually means sweet or pleasant. She says, call me Mara. And Mara means bitter. And so she was wanting to say, these circumstances are bitter. Therefore, I'm naming myself bitter. And that's what I want to say to the reader is, if you read the rest of Naomi's story, her story doesn't end in bitterness. And for all of us who are in Christ, our story will not end in bitterness. We might go through difficult seasons and prolonged seasons of suffering, but that's where I'm saying hang in there because God does not want you to stay in this bitterness forever. That's not your final name. That's not your final story. That's not the final destination for any believer who's in Christ. And so part of us overcoming is saying, God, who do you say that I am? Even if my circumstances are difficult, who do you say that I am and how can you help me persevere and receive one of those new names of being an overcomer? All of us are going to have to overcome very difficult circumstances, and I hope that we don't rename ourselves in the middle of the storm.
Nicknames are funny because they usually come in the most embarrassing moments, right? I'm Scott on SOS Radio. We're talking with author Esther Felice Allen today at SOS. And, you know, Christianity Today labeled you one of the most influential women on church culture. And it's interesting because a lot of times people put these labels on you. Sometimes it's something cool like that. Other times it's an embarrassing thing you did in high school. Or maybe we felt overweight at a certain point in our life. We're in fifth grade and we hadn't matured yet. And then we started working out and we started doing sports and everything changed. And haven't been overweight in 30 years, but it's still in your head think like, oh, that's who I am. It's interesting because you have a whole chapter in your new book, Your New Name, that talks about how your new name is given. It's not something that's earned.
That's right, Scott. And even early on in the book, I kind of am helping the reader identify what are some of the labels that are limiting you. Like, are you limiting yourself based on your circumstances? You know, God does not rename you because of your circumstances or because of your job. You know, maybe people are mislabeling themselves by their limitations. I give an example of my in-laws who have a wonderful company that takes care of adults with disabilities. And we might look at these wonderful people like looking at their limitations and calling them disabled and labeling them in certain categories. But God doesn't call them their names based on their limitations. God sees much greater than what we see even for ourselves. But I'm glad you brought up the point because some of us name ourselves out of our strengths and out of our accomplishments. And really, scripture says that even our righteousness is like filthy rags to God. He's not interested in that. God's interested in doing a deep personal transformation in every single one of us. He wants to throw off labels. He wants us to listen to who he says he is. And part of knowing our new name is a key step for us reflecting the true name of God. So I think it matters.
We're talking with Esther Felice Allen today at SWS Radio. We're talking about our name. We're talking about our identity. We're talking about our place in this world because God made us into a new creation when we invited Jesus into our heart. And Esther, when you read through Romans 8, you read where it says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't promise that there's not anything bad that's ever going to happen in our life. It doesn't promise that everything is going to be good and clean and different the day that we start a relationship with God. But what have you learned about what Paul means when he says, there is no condemnation for you when you're in Christ?
Yeah, you know, our new names are not going to be the sin that we have committed or the sins that were done against us. Our new names really represent the transformation that Christ has done, the price that Christ has paid. So So our new names put God's work on display, not our past and not our sin. And that's the good news of the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. And I was recently speaking at a conference and a man courageously shared his testimony. He had chosen adultery for years in his marriage and his wife didn't leave. She prayed for years for him. And thankfully, after years, he came to repentance and he asked for forgiveness. But as he's sharing the story in church, he still has the name of adulterer. You know, he still carries that sin and carries that shame, even though his family is reconciled and he's asked God for forgiveness. And at the end of teaching, you know, I taught him this concept of God giving us a new name. He came up to me and said, my new name is Faithful Husband. That's who I want to live out of. I no longer want to live with this shame of being an adulterer. And I think that that's the invitation that God's giving us is not only does God forgive us, not only does God wipe away the sin and the shame, but God gives us a new name that allows us to live courageously for who he's called us to be.
We're talking about how we find freedom from the labels that other people give us, but actually discovering the name that God's given us, where our identity truly is, and how we can actually flesh that out towards our giftings. And we're talking with Esther Fleece Allen today at SWS Radio. And CNN called you one of five women to watch in religion. USA Today named you one of the new faces of evangelical Christianity. I mean, even Christianity called you one of the 50 women shaping culture in the church. But when you wrote your last book, No More Faking, you were in a very different season of life. And you look at these names, these titles that people want to put on you and you go, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. But you've had to work through quite a bit to get to the place you're at today.
Absolutely. You know, I write in No More Faking Fine that every single one of us will go through a lamenting season. Not all of us will win elections. Not all of us will have a dream job. Not all of us will have the kids that we want, you know, but every single one of us is going to go through difficulty. The thing is, when you look at the Bible, look at all the stories of people struggling and people fighting for faith, people for hanging on to the faith to become overcomers. I took so much courage in the Word of God of seeing this language of lament woven throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, understanding that even Jesus himself was a man of sorrows. And it just gave me this personal invitation to go to God with my grief, to go to God in whatever season I'm in, not only the good things, not only expecting good things, but this invitation to relational intimacy with the God of the universe on my good days and my bad days.
So Esther, since writing your last book, you literally have a new name, and that's Allen. You've gotten married, you've become a mom. How did meeting Joel and taking on his last name, taking on the title of mother, change things for you?
I lived with a lot of fear for years of being a wife and being a mom, and part of that is because I didn't have good examples. So I thought, am I going to just continue this generational cycle of divorce or abuse or abandonment? I was so fearful, but really pursuing Christ and pursuing this newness, I had to realize that God himself is the one who equips us to what he's called us to do. And I'm so grateful that he did bring a godly spouse to me. And I'm so grateful that he's growing our family through children. I think that a deep transformation had to happen in me first, though, before I received these gifts. I had to realize that God loved me, that God had good gifts for me, God had good new names for me. And I began to trust God more than the circumstances I saw growing up as a child. I think for every single one of us, God has good gifts for us. God has new names for us. God has new seasons for us. And it's not even a prosperity gospel message. It's just that God loves us. And as his children, he wants to carry us through to be victorious in this life. And so I think the things I feared the most, marriage and family, have now been God's greatest gifts in my life and really instrument of my own heart healing.
We're talking about the different seasons where life changes, but our identity stays the same. And we're talking with Esther Fleece Allen today at SWS Radio. Esther, we were talking a minute ago about taking on the role of a bride, and now you have the last name Allen. I know you've been writing books for years and sharing and speaking for years, and now you're a mother. But let's talk about dating. As an adult in this modern age, you know, a lot of times when you're dating someone, you're thinking about what do I have to offer or who do I want to marry one day. I think a lot of people just date for fun and don't even think about the long-term effects of their decisions this week, this month, this year. But when we want to own our identity so that that moves forward when we are equally yoked with another person in the covenant of marriage, what would you say to those that are sort of fleshing through that right now, feeling like, well, I just want people to like me. I just want to find a good spouse. I don't want to scare them off right away, but at the same time, we've got to own our identity and who we are.
Absolutely, Scott. And it's actually kind of a soapbox issue for me because I think The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, these shows that we see on TV, have really ruined this generation's perception and expectation of dating. You know, dating is hard. And I think we've got it reversed. We look at like, well, what's this person going to do to me or for me? Or how is this person going to add to my story? You know, I actually share a story in No More Faking Fine that I went on a date on the very first day already asking me, well, what's my calling and how is my calling going to match his calling? It was like, what's in it for him, you know, instead of getting to know me. So dating is hard, no doubt about it. I think what helps young adults or even older adults that matter that are going through the dating process is, who does God say that you are? And knowing who you are in Christ is going to help you navigate this. Because when you believe that you're chosen by God, you are not going to need the world to choose you. When you believe that God says you are beautiful and you are wanted and you are accepted, that you're his workmanship before you have anything to offer him, when you believe these new names and who God calls you to be, you don't have to look for that significant other to fill that void in. And so I think we've got it all backwards. Instead of looking for what's this person going to add to me, it's like, who does Christ say that I am? And then what is he calling me towards? And then understanding, we need a proper understanding of marriage. And is marriage about us or is marriage about reflecting who God is into the world? And so I think we've got it backwards. We've got to start asking our friends, what's your motive for dating? Why are you dating that person? And are you wanting to hear a name or a label out of that person more than you're wanting to hear who God says you are?
And so often we make our dating choices, obviously starts with attraction for most people, and that is a real thing. But beyond that, you have to look, is this person leading me closer to Jesus, or is this person leading me closer to their own agenda or to their debauchery? Because that's reality of where a lot of things are. People are selfish, and if that guy isn't leading you towards a relationship with Jesus, you need to cut bait at some point, even if you're having fun and even if they're a cool person.
Absolutely. And it's a hard message to say. I understand it's even hard to apply. You know, I was single at a time and I dated a little bit here and there. And I know it's difficult, but here's the thing. God gives us gifts and they are to bring us into closer relationship with him. You know, even when we are evangelizing or sharing our faith, there's just a beautiful mystery that can happen as we grow in our own faith. As we're studying the Christian faith and the Christian doctrine, maybe for our friends who are questioning, God wants to give us a reassurance of our salvation in that process. And so if we're being attracted to somebody who doesn't share that core value, I think it limits really how God wants to speak to us. I think it's looking at the temporary instead of looking at the eternal. And God does make it clear in Scripture. He wants us to be equally yoked. And I tell you, life is hard and marriage is hard. Relationships are hard. And there is safety that he says, I want you to be with somebody who shares this faith because God wants us to be overcomers. You know, we're not going to be married in heaven. We're married to Jesus in heaven. And that's a concept that not many of us think. Marriage is temporary here and then we're married to Jesus. And so in your temporary life here, what's more important than sharing your faith with your spouse? I think it could be one of the greatest gifts that God's given us here on earth. Again, that institution of marriage is a gift given to help us overcome, not to take us away from Christ and to take us away from the faith.
We can call it stress, we can call it control, we can call it turning everything over to God. We're actually talking with Esther Felice Allen today at Swiss Radio, but stress can crush us or it can grow our capacity. Esther, what have you learned about how we actually grow our capacity? Because a lot of times our names and our labels sort of define us or we take those things on, but God calls us to do bigger things. I mean, like, I love the way Eugene Peterson paraphrased it in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he said, like, the smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Open up your lives.
That's a really good challenge and a really good reminder. You know, I think I have just realized in this season of new motherhood and new marriage that my small acts of kindness and my small acts of obedience are just as important to God as when CNN says you know, Esther is somebody you should maybe listen to. You know, I think that many times we can overlook the quiet moments that matter to the Lord. It says in scripture to not despise small beginnings. And I think, you know, when you really boil down the gospel, it says to love God and to love our neighbor. And that is loving our physical neighbor. And I think that sometimes we think we have to go to a foreign country to do missions, or we have to maybe adopt, you know, internationally, or we have to start a large ministry, or maybe give away millions of dollars to the kingdom of God. But actually, God just says, I want you to love your neighbor. And the multiplication that can happen with the gospel message of loving your neighbor is profound. And so as I'm getting ready to welcome my second child, I'm actually looking forward to a quieter season of not speaking as much, not traveling as much, and not just loving my baby and loving my family, but how can we as a family love our neighbor?
Well, we're talking to Esther Felice Allen today at SOS Radio, and she has a book. It's called Your New Name. It's about saying goodbye to the labels that limit. Thanks for checking in and sharing with us today.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Scott.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast.
Tell a friend and connect.
SOSradio.net.